Hello, everyone, and welcome to Asking Styles COVID-19, How Who We Are is Impacting Our Work. I'm Brian Saber, president of Asking Matters. I know many of you know me because you know the Asking Styles. I don't think everyone here does. And while I'm introducing myself, if you could say type in the questions box, if you know where it is so far, where you are listening in from today, and also the one thing, the number one thing you are doing to stay sane and centered as much as possible during this time. What are you doing to just try and keep things moving ahead and stay maybe calm, maybe centered? Kylie says, walking every morning. I've been doing a ton of walking, lots of walking, getting out for a walk, exercising, about 30 minutes outside, walking, dog walks. Amazing. We have become a world of walkers, which is a silver lining in all of this. I have to say, I was never one of these steps people, but I have been walking. I've been walking enough that I had to go get orthotics this morning. I never thought that would be me. So it is amazing during this time, which is so awful in so many ways, that there are silver linings and there are things we're learning about ourselves for better and for worse. One of the things that has, and I think we've got a post coming out on it soon, right, Kyle? And I wish I could read what everyone here is saying, but there are 700 or so of you. So I am an introvert, and we're going to talk about all this through the Asking Styles. And everyone says, oh, no, you're not. You know, look at you. You present, you go, you train, you're this, you're that. And I keep saying, I know I do, but I'm an introvert. And it takes a lot for me to do that. It takes a lot for me to do this. It takes a lot for me to be on camera. I often am not. But I'm doing it because I want to connect, and I know it's helpful for you if we can see each other. So what's amazing is now that I am mostly stuck at home, I live by myself, I'm spending an extraordinary amount of time by myself without another physical human being to talk to face to face, I have a tremendous amount of energy for other things. Because as much as I love people, it takes a lot of energy for me to socialize, as we're going to talk about. And though I'm desperately wanting to be with some of my dear friends and my family a bit more, and I've only had a couple of socially distant, they're calling it, meetings with them, I also have a lot of energy for myself, which hasn't always been the case. So really fascinating. So thank you, everyone, for typing in. I will go back when this is done, and I'll read through all those comments. So I hope you did find the questions box. If not, you want to click on that orange and white arrow to expand that tab. And two things there. One, if your audio is wonky, often when we listen over the internet, which we do through our computers, it can get that way. You can toggle to telephone and call in. And second is the questions box. Now, with so many of you, it will be hard to answer questions, but I will try to answer some at the end or even as they go along. Kyle, my right-hand man, is on with me today, and Kyle will be watching that questions box and posing some questions to me along the way. You will get a copy of these slides and a link to the recording by tomorrow, along with a couple of other materials. And I'm not sure we're going to go full hour. I spent the last week developing this. It's new material because we're in, as they keep saying, uncharted territory. And we'll see how long it goes. But I hope what I have will resonate and be helpful for you. As I said, if you've got questions, do write, type them in. And I do want to ask one more question as we're starting. And that is, what is the number one thing you've learned about yourself as a fundraiser since the world has been turned upside down? What have you learned about yourself as a fundraiser? If you could type that, and I'm going to start looking at those and read some of those out loud. What have you learned? I'm more adaptable and creative than I thought, Lisa says. I need alone time to prep. I need human contact, Barbara says. I bet Barbara's a go-getter. We'll talk about that. Pivoting is second nature, and that could be a rainmaker. I need people. I'm still scared to make cold calls. I would be with you on that. I can't. Let's see. I have faith in people, Veronica says. Wonderful. is that my fear of failure is more pronounced during this time. Very interesting, because all of our emotions are heightened and we have more need. These are really wonderful constituents like personal touches. We're going to talk about that a bit. Another person says, still call stare scared to make cold calls. I've never made cold calls. I've assiduously avoided those my whole life because of who I am. So I admire those of you who can do it, and I'm with those of you who can't. I love working from home, but miss my coffee face-to-face donor meetings. I miss people, and it can be harder to plan work, Raymond says. And we're going to talk a little bit about planning work and who that challenges. I can be productive working from home, Kimberly says, right? Some of us can be more or less productive. I will share that I procrastinated on this webinar and went back to my jigsaw puzzles. I don't have a ton of work right now because I did a lot of presenting in person at conferences and such. And I'm using that time for walking and for jigsaw puzzles. And I find it is hard for me to structure my time here sitting in my apartment. So thank you for sharing all those. Again, I'm going to read them all, and I really appreciate your sharing that. So what are we going to cover today? We're going to do a quick review of the asking styles. I know many of you know your style, but probably not all. Some of you are going to be new to asking matters and the asking styles. And then we'll talk about how I think that's impacting our face-to-face fundraising, how it impacts working with the team, and how it impacts working from home, and see if we can take some more questions at the end. And I have been asking a lot of people a lot of questions about this as I've interacted with peers, people in the field, both professional and lay leaders and such. So I've got some handle, but it'll be great to get your perspective as well. So let's dive right into the asking styles for that quick review. The asking styles are based on two concepts, two personality traits. First, how do you interact with people? Here, which is what I was just talking to you about. Are you extroverted or introverted? People always think extroverts are these really loud, in-your-face people like Michael Scott in The Office, and they think an introvert is someone hermetically sealed like Shrek. And neither is true. They're both stereotypes. They have to do with where we derive our energy, and that has to do with whether we talk to think. Extroverts think out loud, so they're talking and thinking at the same time. For introverts such as myself, it's much more comfortable for us to think and then talk when we have a fully formed thought. Well, in a conversation back and forth, we have to jump in faster or someone else is going to talk. We're going to miss the moment. We're going to miss the rhythm. I'm sure you've talked with people who are very slow to respond. Those are probably uber introverts who really want to think it out, and you realize after a while, gee, I've got to wait a long time to let them in, or I'm going to talk over them. And sometimes as an introvert, I talk too fast because without forming my thoughts, because I want to stay in the moment. So that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy for introverts to speed up their process to be in the conversation. So that's introversion versus extroversion. The second characteristic is, how do we take in information? Are we analytic or intuitive? Do we start with data and figure out the idea? Or do we start with the idea and figure out and then see if the data supports it? That's going to impact why we care about our organization in the first place, what we're passionate about, and how we're going to talk about it to others. And when we put that together, the two together, we get the four asking styles: rainmaker, go-getter, kindred spirit, and mission controller. So I'm going to give you just the top line of what each asking style represents, what the main positive characteristics are of each, and then Kyle's going to put a poll up on the screen, and we'll see who here is primarily one or the other. And I say primarily because no one fits cleanly in one box. We all have a little bit of all of these traits, and depending on the situation, we may use more or less of different traits in our toolbox. So we start with the rainmaker. When people think fundraiser, they think rainmaker. Very strategic and driven, keeps their eye on the prize, objective, fact-based, competitive, wants to come out on top. Great skills for fundraising, challenging field. We have to keep going back, even if we get rejected. We need to keep our eye on the prize, which is building the relationships and raising the money for our organizations, harder than ever, right? This is the analytic extrovert, the rainmaker. The go-getter, the intuitive extrovert who big picture thinker, lots of energy, creative, quick on their feet, very engaging. Great characteristics for fundraising. We're trying to engage people, get them excited about our organization. Kindred spirits, intuitive introverts. I'm a kindred spirit. We are feelings oriented. We wear our hearts on our sleeves. For us, everything is personal. Even when we try to make it not so, it ends up being personal. And because we are so sensitive, some might say touchy-feely, we tend to be very attentive and caring towards others because we want to treat them like we would want to be treated, and we're sensitive to their needs. We're very attentive and thoughtful and selfless. We will put other people first often. And those are great skills because we want our donors to feel really valued and heard. And then we've got our mission controllers, the analytic introverts, who the Eagle Scouts, who always get the job done, keep their eye on the prize, very methodical, detailed, and observant, love to sit back and watch and listen. Another great skill for fundraising. So these are the four. And now I'm going to ask Kyle to post the poll, and let's see who's with us. Let's see, poll is open. So Kyle, I'm not seeing the progress on the screen for some reason. That's strange.
We have about 55% okay. In.
Great, we'll go another. Tony's saying it's not working. But you say we've got a whole bunch of them. So Tom, it could be a little wonky on your side. And I see a couple of people, Patty's saying it's not working. I think there could be a little quirk with the system. It seems to have stopped in some way, which is odd, because it says the poll is open. So if it's not open, just type in the questions box. This is the only poll, so we won't need that feature going forward, and we'll be able to read them out. You know, all this technology, some of you have been with me before can probably remember what my phrase is. I keep saying I'm going to copyright it, and that is, we love technology until we hate it, and every day I love it. And every day I seem to hate it. And like at a moment like this, where I'm just trying to launch a poll, I pay a lot of money a month for this software and it isn't working. So thank you all for typing in. A lot of mission controllers, kindred spirits, rainmakers, go-getters, a really nice mix. So Kyle, if you could close the poll and share the results on the screen, that would be great. And we've got 16% rainmakers, 25% go-getters, 41% kindred spirits, a lot of my fellow kindred spirits, 18% mission controllers. So, and typing in, it seemed like more of a mix, but as you can see, it takes all types. There is no one person who has every trait in equal amounts. No one has all the traits of a fundraiser. And so we need to use our strengths. Kyle, if you could close the poll and we'll continue on. And let me reopen the slides. There you go. So if you haven't taken the Asking Style assessment, a great tool, 30 questions, true, false. It takes a couple of minutes. It's free. And you can take it on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your desktop, anywhere. And everyone else can take it too. And we're going to talk as we go further now about relationships in the office and where you might want to use your style. So let's talk about face-to-face fundraising. First of all, what's changed? Well, so much has changed, right? I mean, the one thing that stayed the same is it's the fundraising we're talking about here, the face-to-face, the cultivating and soliciting and getting to know people, that's based on relationships. Relationships, so many people said, I need people. We all need people, right? We all need people. And what we're doing is based on people. That's the same. But so much else is different in terms of where people are at, the challenges in their lives, the money they have available and so forth. And it's all changed so quickly. But what we're seeing is actually we're interacting. This has forced us to interact more than ever with donors. And a number of you talked about the touches. And I know that I am getting different communication now from all the charities I support. They're reaching out to me. They're calling to see how I am. And I think, you know, we're trying to be together as a community and we are caring, but they're also doing good fundraising, which is reaching out, putting a voice with a name, building that relationship, seeing who might continue in a dialogue. And I'm not a big donor. I'm thinking of one performing arts center where I'm a modest donor and subscriber. They called me, and I'm passionate about theater, so I ended up in a big conversation with them. So it turned out it was worthwhile for them to call. I don't know that I'll be increasing my gift there, but I certainly won't decrease it. I will keep giving because I got that call and I've put a face with a name. So we're interacting more. There's virtually no in person, especially I don't know if anyone is doing that in states that have been less affected, if anyone is meeting on a park bench or something, but I have to assume there's virtually no in person, much more email and phone and some video calls. So some people are starting to do more of that. Everyone's getting more comfortable with it, but more of our work from what I can understand is still email and phone with some video calling thrown in. I have a couple of people have said that older donors are more inclined to want to video, which is interesting until I think about it. And even though younger people or middle-aged people are more comfortable with technology, older people are probably feeling more isolated now. So it's actually a great opportunity to connect with people probably in their 60s and 70s and 80s if they can deal with the technology. The easiest of it being FaceTime, where they just pick up the phone and their face is on the phone, otherwise Skype and Zoom and so forth. So all of that has changed. And what does it mean for us? So for rainmakers, well, you know, as we pivot, everyone talks about this pivoting, rainmakers, because you're so strategic and goal oriented and focused, you've been able to keep your eye on the prize more. And if you will, pivot to this new type of relationship in the short run, where it's almost always going to be by phone, email, with some video, nothing in person. And part of it is because you're objective. You face this objectively. Okay, here's an issue. We need a solution. What's strategic? What should I do? And you do it. So in a time like this, you've got a strength, these strengths being a rainmaker. And so you should play to those strengths and feel good about them. Go-getters. One, you are great on the phone. You love phone. And now there's so much more phone and people are more willing to talk on the phone and they're more reachable on the phone. So whereas phone for some of us is very challenging to do and it can be hard to reach people, now you're in a sweet spot there. So, and as I'm talking this through for you, think of who on your board, who of your volunteers are go-getters, because as we're trying to get people to do more of our work, the go-getters will make more of those phone calls for you than your kindred spirits and mission controllers will, and we'll talk about them in a minute. So think of this as a lens for yourself and also understanding what tools the other people in your shop have, whether they be professional or volunteer. You enjoy engaging in different ways, right? And so you're happy to connect. The people who said, I need people. I'm going to assume a lot of you who said that were go-getters. And it doesn't mean the rest of us don't need people, but we wouldn't necessarily say that as the first thing. And you like change. You're good with change. As a matter of fact, when things are too routine, go-getters can get bored with them. And so go-getters are very likely to want to throw things up in the air a little bit and see where they land. Kindred spirits. Well, one of them is that we can be very empathetic. When we're talking to our donors, we can really, not that, I mean, everyone, we all care about each other, but as kindred spirits, we are more likely to really be empathetic towards someone else's story as they're going through this pandemic and dealing with their own challenges. And having that empathy and connecting on that level helps to build relationships. So when you might think of that in terms of someone, if you've got a donor who's really challenged and you have a board member or a staff member who's a kindred spirit, that might be a good person to actually call or email and make that connection. Kindred spirits are really good about catering to the donor. And that is so important at this stage where everything is so tentative and tricky. Things are tricky. And we do want to keep having those conversations. We should, and I think most of you now are starting to realize you should, if you haven't before, that this is the time to ask, this is the time to cultivate. We just have to have the right story. And we talked about that a lot in the last webinar we did here. For those of you who weren't on it, it is available on the website. If you go to my homepage, you can click there to get a recording of that and a whole bunch of materials I put up, including some scripts on how to, some email scripts, but they're good for a verbal as well, on how to talk to donors and open that conversation. Anyway, I want to throw that out there. And KinderSearch, we tend to make a softer sell because we're challenged with rejection. And at a time like this, a softer sell is going to go over better. If we're too assertive, it could read wrong. It could give the wrong message at a time like this. Mission controllers, you'll learn how to do it. Okay, we have to pivot less. You'll be okay with pivoting less because of strategic than a rainmaker, right? But more because, okay, now that's the plan and I'm going to do it. Also, you tend to talk less, which is great because, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, these phone calls are not going to be as long as meetings. People rarely give us as much time by phone or even by video conference, especially if it's for an ask. A little bit more time if it's a cultivation catch-up and it feels a little more natural, a little less businessy. But if we're literally having a call to talk about a gift on the phone, it's not going to be that long a conversation. A strength for the mission controller who tends to talk less and will let the donor talk. And mission controllers love email. Kindred spirits like email too. Anything for us but talking. But for mission controllers, that's a real strength of yours. And now we're doing a lot more of that communication since we're not doing any communication in person. So that's a little bit about how where I think your strengths are in this as we pivot to something different. So here, I want to come up with one or two challenges I'm seeing each of us has or might have. So Rainmaker, you can drive a little too hard. Just as I talked about a kindred spirit being a little softer on this, you do need to pull back on the pedal a little bit, give donors a little more leeway, a little more time to make a decision because things are in flux. And you're short on process. Now, while and a lot of these thoughts are going to circle back when we get to the next section. But on one hand, that's good if you have a phone meeting and the phone meeting is going to be short. You only have so much time for process. On the other hand, people are trying to process their entire lives right now and are going to want to talk, especially those who are isolated. And someone just said, starting again in Arizona, based on donor preference. So in Arizona, they're actually starting to have some meetings, which is great. And of course, we have to deal with our own challenges because some of us wouldn't even want to meet. So how do we get past that? So rainmakers can drive too hard, short on process. Go-getters, you can get distracted by the bigger conversation and not be as focused and move things along, right? And you're going to have less time by phone or video call. So you need to be a little more structured and methodical. And that sort of time frame could frustrate you because you want to take some time to chat and you get caught up in the moment, which is one of the things I love about go-getters, but it could leave you with not enough time for the business part of the meeting. Kindred spirits, well, we dislike phone and video, so we have to get over that. And we'll be very reticent because we're afraid of overstepping. Right, we're very careful about people's feelings. We're attentive and thoughtful, and we're the most likely to be concerned about, gee, is this the time? Should I ask? Should I even ask this question? And we need to get past that. And mission controllers, harder for you to pivot. So it's, you know, yes, you will go with a new plan, but you've got your way of doing things. You've worked really hard to perfect those ways. This is a challenge. And because you do have to use the phone more, that's going to be a huge challenge for mission controllers for whom the phone is the least Like the form of communication you tend to like least. And the reason why, for those of you who are new to the styles, is that mission controllers, especially if you're trying to set up a meeting, mission controllers like to dot their I's and cross their T's, and it's easier to do that if it's in writing. You can write something more formal and more complete, and you know you've made your point. You know how we get on the phone and we think we've got a certain amount of time, or we have a plan, and then the donor takes the conversation in a different direction, says something that throws our script entirely off. Harder for the mission controller. So, next. So those are some thoughts on the fundraising. Working with your team. So the team includes staff and board. And it's there have been more changes in the relationship with staff through this than with the board, because we do a lot of communication with the board through email and phone, and them going out to work. Our fellow staff, unless we're in a regional or national or international organization, tend to be close to us. So what's changed? Well, first of all, the times are beyond challenging. So we are now working in a heightened environment where tons of nonprofits, I'm sure many of yours have had to let people go, where you've lost contracts because you can't provide the service, where you have sick employees, you have employees who don't have daycare. You know, the best case scenario, people are homeschooling their kids and trying to do their work. It's beyond challenging. All our interactions are virtual, and there's less processing time because we're doing this virtually. We're not walking past each other in the hallway. We're not having any of those casual conversations. And overall, that means spending less time. So let's address each of these challenging times. Well, the Rainmakers, so how do we address that positively? Rainmaker will meet any challenge and just keep going, right? I can get through it. I am going to succeed. I'm going to get to the goal. Go-getter, good with change. Right? Flexible, okay, I can go with the punches, I'll go this way, that way. The kindred spirit will be okay because the kindred spirit wants to please, okay, if this is what people want and I want to please them, I'll do it. And the mission control will say, okay, I have a plan for that. I can make a plan for that and pivot. So we each have a different mindset, just like we all have a different way into something. So a rainmaker says, what's the goal? Right, so the rainmaker keeps focusing on the goal. I wish I'd put that slide up for this. Actually, the go-getter says, "What's the opportunity?" Right, so that's broad. It could be a lot of things. The kindred spirit says, "What moves my heart?" So, what should I do emotionally? And the mission controller says, "What's the plan?" So that's how each of us addresses this challenging time. We look for the goal, the opportunity, what moves my heart, and the plan. What about our virtual interactions? And by the way, and at the end of this section, before going on to working from home, Kyle, let me know if there are any questions you'd like me that I should take. So virtual interaction. You're good at keeping it short and sticking to the point. And having just, let me step back. We're used to having a lot of staff meetings. Staff meetings can run long. That can be challenging for people who don't like process, not good with focus and such. So rainmakers enjoy these shorter meetings, which many of us are having because there is less time, because there's so much we have to do personally and so much more work, would be happy with just a quick call rather than a video chat because they're not as into the process. And these are generalizations, but as you can see, what I'm trying to do is give you a sense of who to keep in mind who you are and how that's impacting things. So some of these may resonate more for you than others, and something from a go-getter list could resonate to someone who's a rainmaker. The go-getter is going to say, oh, great, can we have another Zoom call? I'd love to spend some time, more time on the call, because you love the process and the interaction. And you're the most likely to call another employee out of the blue. I'm amazed at how go-getters call me. Mission controllers never call me without first texting me or emailing me to set up a call. And actually, I do that. My secondary is mission controller. Go-getters, often I get a call, it's usually from a go-getter. So you're likely just call your colleagues out of the blue when you want to talk to them. Again, the kindred spirit will do whatever the group wants, even if it's not what they want. And you need to watch out for that, how much of your energy you're expending appeasing everyone else and how much you have left, especially during these times. And you'd rather do less than more because all the interaction can get a little uncomfortable and use a lot of your energy as it can for the mission controller. Mission controller, you'd love to do it by email. The calls and the video chats are going to be toughest for you. And it's important for you to have an agenda and some sense of when everyone's going to talk. You can see how that's just the polar opposite of a go-getter who's happy to just get on a call even if there isn't an agenda and figure it out. You have such a comfort in figuring things out on the spot that talk to think, which just comes so easily to you. You know, throw out the ideas, some stick to the wall, some don't. Great quality. You can see in a staff meeting the strength that gives you, the challenge that's going to give a mission controller, especially depending on who is running the meeting. So less processing time. One of the things I found so fascinating as oh, actually, sorry, I want to go back one slide to wait, where? Uh-oh, hold on one sec. No, I don't. Okay, so it was as I was building this, it was so interesting for me because people of different asking styles often are at odds with each other, especially diagonally, because we're so different. And yet, on some things, it turns out we're more alike, especially during this time. And one of them was this processing, because rainmakers don't like a lot of process because they like to just get to the point and get things done. And kindred spirits don't like a lot of process because it means a lot of interaction and it wears them out. Whereas the mission controllers are willing to go through the process because it's part of the planning and a plan is good. And the go-getters enjoy the process in the moment. Really interesting, right? Before I go further, Kyle, any questions?
Someone just asked if we can see the main category descriptions again for each asking style.
Yes, let's see. Okay, I'm going to do that even though it's going to look messy on the screen. One second. So I can quickly go back. I'll put them up for a second. Maybe you can take a screenshot with your phone, everyone. These are the main characteristics. Yeah, so take a screenshot or a photo with your phone or something, and then we'll go back to where we left off. Any other questions?
That was the only thing I
Okay,
saw come
great.
up.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Okay, Felicia. Now back to where we were. We were here. Okay. So I found that really interesting that because it means in a virtual environment, we may actually find ourselves working better with people we didn't work as well with before. And we might find it challenging to work with people we thought we were more aligned with now that we're in a different environment. And of course, that's true for any interactions, including donors, where it might have worked when you were in person and isn't going to work now that you're not, and so forth. So then I looked at managing down and managing up. So if you're managing down, if you're the manager and you have some staff, so you, the rainmaker, you're strategic, you're going to figure out how to make it work well. The go-getter is pretty relaxed usually on management from what I can tell, pretty lax. The kindred spirit as a manager is pretty easy because the kindred spirit doesn't like confrontation and is less likely to ask you to do something or say you didn't do something. And for the mission controller, the managing down is harder because it's not as easy to control people, right? Everyone's off on their own. You have to depend a good deal more on people's stick-to-it-ness and drive to get the work done, their work ethic. You can ask for metrics, you can ask for reports, but there's still a lot more just self working on one's own and trying to figure out what to do. Now, someone asked, I think someone asked, how do you figure out which style is who's what style? If you can get your entire team to take the asking style assessment, great. You know how in many organizations they'll use Myers-Briggs or DISC or some personality DISC or some personality assessment to figure out everyone. This is a great way to do it with fundraising staff because it's about fundraising. So maybe everyone would take it, and then you could have a discussion at your next virtual staff meeting about what you learned. And so that's one way. The other way is to just use your perception. There are a couple of ways in which we can tell what people are like. First of all, you know who's more social than less, who tends to close their door or go back to their cubicle or whatever, who seems more comfortable on the phone. You have a sense of who's analytic and who's intuitive by questions they ask, the way they act, right? People who produce a lot of data usually like data. They're usually analytic. The people who push back and maybe don't want to read everything you give them are more intuitive and so forth. So you could do your own study. And we often do that with our donors, right? We try and figure out our donors, and we can often figure out their style based on how they communicate and the questions they ask. So that's how we can do it informally and formally. Certainly with staff, we can ask everyone to take the assessment. There's a lot to learn from there. How about managing up if you've got a boss? Well, if you're a rainmaker, you're probably already reporting a bunch of metrics because you're driven and you want to show that you're succeeding. Because the way you know you're succeeding is if you reach a tangible, factual goal. Right? The go-getter is much more general in that big, in the big goal, in the big picture and the goals. But you're going to be very specific, so you know when you've reached it. You need that litmus test. So you'll be able to provide that up to your manager, which will really help in these virtual times. For go-getters, harder. It's harder because the tendency is to just do the work and not report. And your boss may be asking for more reporting since there's more distance and you're not getting as much time to talk, and your boss maybe can't watch you do your work as much as before. Especially since you're not having in-person events and all these fundraising events where someone can watch and see if you're interacting. They're all so your manager will need to know what you're doing, right? That could be a challenge. Of course, the kindred spirit, you're going to just give I say easy. It's not necessarily easy to do it. It's easy because you don't have a choice. You're going to say, okay, my manager wants that. I need to appease my manager. I'm going to give the manager what the manager asks for. And the mission controller will like the accountability and the reporting. It's something. So both the rainmaker and the mission controller do that reporting generally as analytics for different reasons, right? The rainmaker to make sure the rainmaker's hitting the goal, and the mission controller because that's the way to make sure the plan is working. So it will be easier for you to provide what your bosses might need. So as I've mentioned, perfect time to take the assessment and then talk about how it's impacting things, whether you are polar opposites in your styles, whether your styles are adjacent and you share something, whether your style is the same and you share most anything. Susan says, what do I mean by continue to be lax? So I find go-getters, are very in the moment and less about details, less about procedures. I often find go-getters challenged to follow up systematically and strategically. It's the flip side of being in the moment and always looking at the big picture. Go-getters are great at looking at the big picture. It means some of those details fall by the wayside. I was just rereading something from a friend of mine out in Arizona. Someone talked about that. Sue said it should, how about relax? Because lax sounds lazy. Sorry about that. I did not mean to be pejorative in any way. But I remember Judy, now I'm going to forget Judy's last name, but she's a go-getter. And she said, don't you wish I'd remember what you asked me to do? And I said, I would never trade that for all the energy and the big picture thinking you bring. And I'm happy to play the role of helping you remember things and remind you of things. So go-getters, big picture, you keep your eye on the prize like a rainmaker, but a different prize. Whereas Mission Controls and Kindred Spirits, we tend to be a little more internal, a little more current, and so we're often watching those details a little bit more. Hope that explains it. So chillax, that's me. Raymond says chillax. By the way, has everyone ever? Someone just told me I was talking about tomorrow when I'm doing a webinar for my members, and someone said it's on. I said Thursday, and she said it's called Blursday now. Blursday, because all the days are a blur. I thought, oh, that's funny. I like that. So last section, and then I will take a couple of questions, and that's working from home. And I only did a little bit on this, but structuring the day, so important. And a number of you said it's hard to structure. Some of you said you like working from home. Rainmakers, you'll set your goals, you'll use the time efficiently. I know I should probably each morning say these are the three things I must accomplish, but my kindred spirit doesn't really do that, and I tend to go a little bit like this. But rainmakers, you will be focused and you will achieve what you set out to do. Go-getters, you'll go with the flow and you'll be moved along by your own energy in this direction or that. You'll gravitate to the things that that you're attracted to because of the energy, because that you want to do them. And being at home in that less structured environment, right, you might have to work at making sure the day is structured and making sure you get the top level stuff done. Kindred spirits will probably enjoy more the non-interactive time, which gives us a little more fuel and maybe more time for more energy for our donors and more time to think through how to respond. So if we're doing more by email, which we are, that is a better format for us. So we will enjoy that. I mean, the structured day might be a challenge, the non-structured day, excuse me, but we will enjoy having a slower response time for some of this and really be able to think things through. And the mission controller, you'll set a plan and follow it. So you can see how the analytics, again, the analytics are good at method at getting a lay of the land and moving forward in a more official way, and some might say thoughtful way, whereas the kindred spirit and the go-getter, a little more relaxed, tend to go in different directions. That can make us more flexible, but at home can also make being efficient a little more challenging. So there's the yin and yang of that, and you have to figure out where you are. I know for me, I've had to give myself a lot of leeway because sitting in my apartment by myself, not easy every day to be as strategic and put out as much work as I should. And one last picture, and that is dealing. How do we deal with kids? Now, I am feel very lucky that my son went off to college last year, and he isn't even home now. He's actually living a couple states away, and while I'm missing him, it means I have a lot of control over my environment. And for so many of you, you've got kids at home, you've been homeschooling, or you've got young ones, and you're just, and you don't have any daycare anymore, anything like that. So how are you dealing with your kids? So I just thought of this as a way to how would each of our styles deal with this? Rainmakers, you're very strategic. I'll reward you if you let me work. Go-getters, sure, let's go out and play, right? Where's the energy? Kindred spirit, I'm sorry, but I just can't play with you. We'll feel bad, but shoo them away. And the mission controller will have a plan. Okay, I'm going to work these hours, and then we're going to spend some time together. So I don't know if that sounds. Vicky is saying it's nuts. And I can only imagine. I feel very lucky. I may have lost most of my work. I might be sitting here alone in my apartment most of the time. But I have my health. I have a lot of control over my environment. And so I'm considering myself blessed. And I really, my heart goes out to so many in so many ways, all of you fundraising, all of you trying to deal with your kids. And Veronica saying this is accurate. And yes, tomorrow's webinar is a member benefit. So So yeah, tough times. So, Kyle, if there are any questions, let me know. I have been looking a little bit at the sheet. I'm not sure if there are, but a lot of stuff upcoming that might be able to help you. I will continue to do free stuff all along and post more things. You can count on that. I am going to open membership. I haven't since September. But I am going to do it sometime in the next 6 to 8 weeks. I have just updated all the Asking Styles recorded trainings, and those will be online. Those are very inexpensive, but they are to purchase after you take your assessment. If you're interested, I'm making a virtual board training since I'm not going to be doing any board trainings in person. I'm going to be doing them through Zoom over a couple of sessions with board members over a couple of months. You'll hear about that since you're on my mailing list. I'm going to do my Asking course in the fall, which I haven't done in a few years, and my second book's coming out in August. So I am producing, even though when I look at this list, I think, okay, well, I am doing something, I guess, even though it feels like I'm doing a lot of jigsaw puzzles. So my book number two is on boards and asking styles, and really appropriate in this environment where our boards are scattered, and we're in some states they're not going to get together for a while, probably. So that's what's coming up. Kyle, any questions?
So this first one is from Tracy. She says, "I am a go-getter. My boss is a rainmaker. We're complete opposites, and he doesn't appreciate my strengths. How could I help him see and appreciate those?"
Well, there are a couple of pieces here, Tracy. One is, okay, I'm going to say it. There are a lot of bosses out there who don't have all the management skills they need. Being a boss is not easy. I found it over the years to be challenging myself. Everyone, like every parent, every boss, every teacher has to start by acknowledging your strengths. It's really hard to have a conversation when that doesn't happen first. So that's really frustrating. And that's a character, I would say, flaw in someone not to appreciate someone else's work and to try to build them up. Might not be what you want to hear, but I really feel that's true, that it's the job of a manager, just like it's the job of a board chair to lift the board and be positive. When you're in a role of leadership, you have to act a certain way. I don't see you as total opposites, but the fact that you're both extroverted, sometimes that energy could crash, and sometimes extroverts and introverts are actually attracted to each other, that yin and yang, to use that expression again, because if you're both introverts, it might be rather quiet. If you're both extroverts, it could be a little clashy. So obviously your rainmaker boss is looking at very set goals and metrics and things like that, and you're taking advantage of opportunities. I have to say, developing the asking styles helped me be more appreciative of everyone. I think sometimes we can get in our heads and feel our way is the way. So, you might say you got off this webinar, it was really cool, and I thought it would be great if all of us on the team took the assessment and really had a discussion since we're in this new world. And something like that. My eyes were open to all the changes that are happening, and it seemed like a cool thing to do. Would you be open to it? It's hard when it's a boss, right? Because you don't want to say something negative to a boss, and it's especially someone who may not have their eyes and ears open in the first place. So I hope that's helpful. It's a challenging situation. And if you have a follow-up question to that, Tracy, feel free to email me at brian@askingmatters.com, and I'll think about it a little bit more. Kyle, another one?
Sure. This is sort of along the same lines of Steve asked, "When a go-getter and a mission controller are leading an organization, how do you formulate a style that works best when the CEO is a go-getter?"
So wait, the CEO is a go-getter, and another person
I think
leading is a
that
mission.
the, yes, I believe that the go-getter and mission controller are probably maybe the ED or something.
I see. It, it, you know, It w when I did this work on boards, really studying them to figure out how leadership styles vary and things like that, I was struck again by how we often choose people like us rather than the people who complement us. And that's a mistake because then we only hear what we think we want to hear, and we don't have a full range of talents because no one has it all. So the good management, a good team, camaraderie, all of that comes from appreciating what others bring to the table, like any good relationship. And that's not e I don't so some of this has to do with COVID-19 and the pandemic, and some of this I think is just general management styles vis-a-vis asking styles, which have probably gotten highlighted with the pandemic, right? Because everyone, managers are trying to figure out how to manage in a way they never had to manage before. Staff are trying to figure out how to be good staff in a way they didn't have to be and report up in a way they never had to report. So again, I think since this is going to go on for a while, and by all accounts, we're going to get walloped a bit again in the winter. It's going to be hard to avoid that. So we're dealing with this for a while. And I think given that, it behooves us to take a step back and say, okay, this is a reality for a while. We're putting out the fires now. Maybe we've gotten through June 30th. We've been able to pivot our programs. We're going to have a virtual camp this summer. We had a virtual benefit. We're doing this. We've redeployed some staff. Now, what are the next 6 months to a year going to look like, and what does that mean for our team? For the now, what are we going to do in the long haul? It doesn't mean each day doesn't still feel like a crisis. I'm sure a lot of them do, but we are in the next phase. Okay, now we understand a lot of us are going to be staying at home for a while. The world's different. We'll be wearing masks when we go back, most probably, et cetera. What does that mean? What does this all mean? So, if you're a manager out there, I hope you're hearing this and you'll double down on communicating with your staff. It's easier for me to talk to management here and tell them what to do, or what I think they should do, I should say, than it is, Steve, for me to give you advice, because managing up is hard. I found it when I was an executive director and I had to manage up to the board. I found it very difficult because that's my boss. How do I tell my boss, you're not being effective, I'm not feeling appreciated, and so forth. So easier to have camaraderie with people who share our style. I often say, soliciting fundraisers, rainmakers always scares me. I like soliciting my fellow kindred spirits, but I have to solicit everyone, and I have to appreciate the rainmakers and not take what they say personally. And so I do think doing some of this analysis again based on styles or DISC or Myers-Briggs or any sort of assessment that makes it an objective analysis is going to take you further, because otherwise many people will feel the fingers being pointed out at them, and it's hard to take that criticism. So putting it in a positive light through a bit of through an exercise and a study would be really helpful. Again, I'm not sure if that answer's really helping, and I'm not sure what else to say. And I'm not a management expert, though I have managed people and been managed and such. So I hope I'm giving a good enough answer there. And I apologize if I'm not. Kyle, one more?
Sure, this one's fairly broad, but
Okay.
Connie says, do we just accept who we are and adapt to the styles of those we work with, or is it possible to learn new ways?
Connie, I love this question. We are who we are. I'm a firm believer we're wired a certain way. We have genes, we have experiences, developmental experiences growing up. But so I'm always going to have certain strengths, I'm always going to have certain challenges, but we do grow. And in growing, we learn how to adapt more. We may take a class to figure out how to do something that doesn't come naturally to us. And we find others who complement us who might be able to do those things. So while we don't change, we do grow. And when we grow, when we learn about ourselves, and learning about ourselves helps us tap into things that we may not have known were there or we're afraid of, right? And that we tap into them, we can come to appreciate them, see them as strengths, not challenges. And we learn new things. So, you know, if you're an executive director and you came from the program side, as so many do, as an example, your strength could very well be in the people skills, the intuitive stuff, the vision for the future. Now you're the head of the organization. Well, if you don't have those management skills, if you don't have, you know, you can't keep the goals in mind, you can't get a plan going and operative and completed and so forth, you got to either learn how to do it. Maybe you have it, but you don't like doing it. So you might have to call on something you don't like, or you need to find someone to do it for you. So it has taken me a long time to accept who I am. I think I've learned so much just in the last 2 months being isolated here about accepting myself, spending a lot of time talking to myself and thinking about myself. The asking styles helped a tremendous amount when we developed them now 10 years ago, 11 years ago, in accepting me for who I am. I think we have to accept ourselves for who we are and not beat ourselves up, because no one has it all. And I will share this one story as we close, because I talk about how I didn't think I was a good fundraiser. So all these years, I raised a lot of money. My bosses, whether it be executive directors or boards of directors, they were always happy with me. They loved how much money I raised. I did well with all the donors. I felt like a fraud because I hate special events. I hate the phone, and I don't particularly like meeting new people. I'm very shy about that. Once I meet someone, I'm golden, but I'll never go up to someone and introduce myself. And I don't like calling them on the phone if they don't know me and they don't know I'm calling, and all these things. And I thought, why the heck am I in this business when someone else can do that, right? My stereotype of a fundraiser was not me, right? It was this more extroverted person who was going to do all this stuff. And developing the styles took me from 0 to 60 in understanding my strengths as a fundraiser and feeling comfortable and knowing I had been effective as a kindred spirit, and knowing that that vision I had of a fundraiser was a stereotype, didn't exist, no one has it all. So all to say, I hope you can come to see it that way too, and just embrace who you are and all the amazing strengths, and learn and find people to partner with you. And in a way that really sums up where we're at today, at needing to accept ourselves and the limitations of what we can do and who we can be in this environment we were never meant to be in 24 hours a day, and take it from there. So we are at the top of the hour. I want to thank you all. First of all, for being in the nonprofit world with me and making the world a better place. I don't know if I mentioned, I had a post that came out last week, and we're going to forward it to you, called An Ode to Fundraisers. I think it's really important at this time to acknowledge how difficult this work is, how much more difficult it's gotten during this time, how all of our organizations depend on us to do it, and it's a calling. We're not doing it because it's fun necessarily. It could be interesting, but it makes the world go round. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for joining me and feeling I have something to say that you want to hear. I appreciate it. Have a good afternoon. Please stay safe and healthy, and we'll get this follow-up material to you later today, I hope. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.